Norm Nathan's Vault of Silliness, where the comedy never stops, has quite the show in store for you today. July 5th, 1994 is the date that gives us what I will call 50 Minutes of Madness. It's a puntastic dumb birthday game that includes plenty of attempts at humor that initially fall flat on their face, yet rise like a deranged phoenix from the comedy ashes to be as ridiculous as you could imagine. And if you can't imagine, then let me thank you for being here. You're my kind of people. Please like, subscribe, and share so we can bring such legendary broadcasting to the masses. Let's remind folks how it was done and should be done again. The cast of characters playing the game are as follows. Ken from Pennsylvania, first-time caller and player. Barbara in Framingham, or not. Patrick in Quincy, no, maybe not because he was not properly vetted, vaccinated, or approved through official channels. Roger from Southbridge, who owns an indie record label, Apostrophe Records. I'm on the phone, and there's mention of the grueling tests I passed to become a producer. Emilio Morata playing and producing and leaving for San Diego. Jack Hart in traffic, who's soaring on the wings of love. And Rod, the WBZ security guard, calling in from the front desk where he's protecting us from ne'er-do-wells. Birthdays for the 5th. Julie Nixon Eisenhower. Huey Lewis. Rich Goose Gossage. Smoking fastballs and mustaches. Robbie Robertson. Then we have to move to July 6th. For Nancy Reagan, Pat Paulson and his hangdog look, and Burt Ward. You'll be scratching your head at the amount of knowledge dispensed in this one. Did you ever wonder how Goose Gossage got his nickname? You'll hear about the few places where there's a 5-day waiting period to buy a ski mask. How do you hold a bat? Why does George Westinghouse allow this insanity to air every week? And an age-old question is answered. Just what is the main criterion used in selecting players for the dumb birthday game? And just you hang on for the revelation as to what tonight's prize package includes. 50 Minutes of Madness begins now.
Okay, we're playing the dumb birthday game, and that's always an exciting moment because everything comes to a stop when we play the dumb birthday game. You'll be surprised. Look around. The people stop their barbecues right now. There's nothing happening anyplace because all our ears are tuned to us. Let me introduce the people who'll be playing the game, which is quite a simple premise. What we do is I tell you who's born today. Of course, we're now into Tuesday, July 5th, and you tell me how old they are, people who are born on July 5th. Thank you very much. Let's see. We've got Ken, who's out in Pennsylvania, who's playing the game with us. Hi, Ken.
Good morning, Norm.
I imagine, boy, you must be just so darn excited about this.
I'm just so thrilled. This is the first time we've ever spoken, too.
And we've never spoken before, even up to this very moment?
I heard you mention that you were looking for players, and I figured, what the hey, give Norm a call. Maybe I'll get in.
And you did.
Yeah.
It's America's great success story.
Yeah. Well,
you, an immigrant to the United States, are finally playing the game,
yeah,
even though you've been in this country only a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I'm trying to make those things up to make it sound more interesting than it really is.
You're not too far off. I've just landed on this planet a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, I see. Where in Pennsylvania are you?
We're about 50 miles south of Pittsburgh.
Okay, well, that's great. Let me introduce you to some other players who will be playing along with you, like Barbara, the very lovely Barbara in Framingham. Hello, Barbara. I have a feeling this isn't Barbara. Are you there, Barbara? Okay, I guess we missed that one then. There's somebody. Who else? Is somebody else on this line?
Hello.
Oh, my goodness.
Patrick from Quincy.
What's your name?
Patrick from Quincy.
Okay, now you haven't talked with Emilio, have you, about playing the dumb birthday game? Yeah, I think we're going to have to get rid of you because you haven't gone through the proper sources, nor have you got your vaccination shots or your visa. So we'll go on to Pat, I got through what you're saying. Roger in the Southbridge. Hi, Roger.
23. Do I win? Do I win?
What did you say, 23?
23. Do I win?
You win. You win a tacky prize.
You don't know what this means to me. You don't know. This is so great. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. Thank you. Do you work in a radio station down there?
No, but I was listening. I know the guy that, it was about what? There's somebody here that I know from Southbridge that called you like about a year ago.
Was he working for the? Because I know you have a station down there.
Yeah, I own a record company, so I know who he is.
Oh, I see. Okay, you own a record company.
Yes.
Now, what is that? What does that mean?
I started an indie record label called Apostrophe Records.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you doing okay?
I'm only in debt to a certain degree. So.
Because that's a tough business to be in. I don't need to tell you that.
Yeah, I mean, I was in a band, and I started a record company because I was just helping out a lot of friends' bands that I was dealing with at the time. So we're all kind of working to help each other out.
Well, good luck to you. I wish you the very best. And the name of the company again is what?
Apostrophe Records.
Apostrophe.
And my vice president of the record company is my best friend Joanne, who called me up about 20 minutes ago and said, I dare you to call and get on the dumb birthday game.
Oh. Well, good for her. That's great. I'm glad you're playing the game with us. Oh, yeah, I just mentioned the name of somebody who's had the birthday, of course, and you guessed the age. And from then on, we just take off in such wild, wonderful conversation that it makes the game just sit darn much fun. Or it can be very boring, I suppose, too. But if you guess the most number of birthdays correctly, get closest to the ages of these people, and then you win a prize, and I guarantee you it is totally worthless, useless, and tacky. So a lot of people are excited about that. But I wish you the very best in your record label, because that's a tough business, and I hope you that'd be lovely if you succeed.
I definitely wish the Curtin Society luck on their upcoming tour that will be at the Middle East in Boston on the 22nd of July. Thank you.
How nicely you got that plug in. Just sneaked it in, so just so darn nice. Okay, we have Tony, of course, Tony Nesbitt from the WBC production staff. And to be a member of the WBC production staff means that you have to be carefully picked. You have to go through a terrible series of auditions and questionaires and all that kind of stuff to make it through. And what else?
Grueling test.
Grueling, my adjective wasn't too good.
Awful.
Grueling test is good. And you passed those tests, Tony, You came out to be a producer. You're a producer.
Yep.
A WBZ producer.
Mm-hmm. And my wallet reflects it.
And I was about to say how proud, or as we say, how proud you are.
Oh, very proud. If I could only cash some of that in.
Okay.
Early retirement.
We also have, of course, we have Emilio, who's also a member of the production staff here, Emilio Murata.
I'm not proud, Norm.
You're not proud at all of this?
No, I'm not proud that my wallet's empty also.
Because you're so lacking in pride that in a couple of weeks or so you're taking off.
That's right.
Going to San Diego. Imagine anybody leaving Boston for San Diego.
I could. You know, what's going on in my head?
You must have lost all touch with your senses, I would say. I think that's the craziest thing I've ever heard.
Norm, if I could stick my own plug in, I'd like to say hello to the Costello family out in Reading, where we had a little 4th of July party. And this, if I want to describe this household, they're kind of the community household where the whole neighborhood comes over. It's one of those houses, everyone. They're kind of the meeting point for the neighborhood.
Sounds nice.
They're very good hosts. They're very congenial, and they give themselves to the neighborhood. So we had a great time over there today, and I just want to say how
nice. The only problem is they charge a cover charge, but
yeah,
you know.
But it's a respectable cover charge, so it's okay.
No, that's really very nice. The Costellos in Reading.
Yes.
That's nice. You didn't happen to run into Gary LaPierre, did you? Because he lives in Reading, too.
No, but actually the guy's house I was at does Gary's trees. He does a tree service for Gary.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he says, I do all his trees.
Oh, I see. Sometimes people brag about that stuff and they say, I happen to trim. I have trimmed Gary's trees. And that has a whole different meaning.
Yes.
Okay, we have, let's see. Oh, Jack Hart.
Yes.
Well, it's nice to have you aboard with us also, too. This is an all-star cast here today. Jack is not a WBZ producer, but he is a WBZ 24-hour traffic network reporter, which doesn't carry as much stature as being a producer.
No, not at all.
But it's impressive.
It's up there.
It'll get you a date, date at a party.
I don't know about that. But
hey, Jack.
Yeah?
Are you soaring on the wings of love?
Absolutely. You betcha.
I just love that commercial. I appreciate you doing that, too, with the zeal and vigor that you did it.
Well, you know, if you can't do things with zeal and vigor, what can you do?
That's correct.
I was in a restaurant one time. The waitress asked me if I wanted that on my salad.
Sure.
It was one of the
zeal and vigor. Sure.
Zeal and vigor? Sure.
Would you like peppercorn? Would you like Italian dressing? Would you like Thousand Isles? Or would you like zeal and vigor?
Zeal and vigor.
Is that
locale?
We have light zeal and vigor, which is really nice. And also, they play Middleton quite often for the parent teachers organization.
Really,
the team of zeal and vigor.
go way back to vaudeville.
Well, that's right. We're just getting caught up with vaudeville in Muttown.
I understand that zeal and vigor opened up for Robert and Everett.
Do an animal act or something.
Well, Norm, you know they're second cousin, don't you? Zip and Vigor?
No, I didn't know that.
Yes.
No, I had no idea about that. No, not at all. I had not even the vaguest notion, or have I ever heard of that. Never.
Now you do.
Okay. We have Rod, who's our security guard, is guiding us at the front desk, who's on the line with us now, and he's keeping terrorists in ski masks, bloody ski masks, from invading the lobby and moving their way in here, capturing all of us and keeping us under their deadly, bloody control.
Boy, am I glad I'm on the phone.
You know, glad you're far away.
Huh? Why isn't there a 5-day waiting period to buy a ski mask?
There is. I mean, not everywhere. There isn't everywhere.
I see.
There is in Kingsboro, Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, and Sault Ste. Marie, wherever that is.
Well, good morning, Norm.
Oh, will you stay out of this? Okay, good to talk to you, Rod. I guess that's our lineup, and it looks like a really swell lineup, too. So we'll play the dumb birthday game by my telling you one person, beginning with Julie Nixon Eisenhower, who was born July 5th. And, of course, I can't tell you the year, but she's the daughter of former President Richard and Pat Nixon. And she's also, of course, the granddaughter. Would she be the granddaughter of Ike Eisenhower?
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. The granddaughter. Not the granddaughter. I guess he is her husband, who she is an Eisenhower.
Who are we talking about?
Who knows? We're talking about Julie Nixon Eisenhower. Oh, okay. And Ken, how old do you think Julie is today?
Let's see. Julie Nixon.
Julie, that's the one.
Okay. I'd say she's about 52.
52, and that's kind of like the opening pitch. That's the first guess of the game, and it's always exciting because all the kids usually cheer and are excited about getting that underway.
So was that a strike or a ball?
I can't tell you until after we get all the guesses in.
Can you imagine if the umpires of Major League Baseball did that? Well, I can't tell you until the fifth pitch. If that was ball four or strike.
That's why this game is more exciting than baseball.
I see.
Major League Baseball can't even see the balls.
I didn't hear what you said, Ken, but I bet it was really witty.
Okay. Oh, weak attempt anyway. Okay.
Barbara in Framingham. No, I don't want to say weeks. No, we didn't have Barbara, did we? We lost Barbara.
In absentia.
That's right. Roger in Southbridge, the record company. What do you think? How old do you think Julie Nixon Eisenhower is?
I say 47.
Okay. Tony, do you want to sing for Roger? He might put you on his label.
Yeah, maybe. You have a
a particular clientele you usually sign?
Really successful clientele. It'll make me a lot of money.
Oh, I see.
Roger before said he wasn't losing too much money, so he wasn't too much in debt.
Well, Roger,
hopefully rock or hip-hop or anyone, you'll sign anyone.
Well, I do a lot of swirly English-sounding rock.
Okay.
Swirly English-sounding rock.
From America, though. You're going to be from America, but...
And it has to be swirly.
Yeah, very swirly.
In English, though.
If you can define swirly in musical terms, then
you get yourself a contract.
Ferry cross the Mersey. Anything like that?
Excuse me. A
little faster, Jack.
He didn't say tipsy, Jack. He said swirly.
Swirly, oh.
You mind if I spit up a little bit? I am getting
kind of
sick.
Actually, we do that sort of stuff, too.
Okay, Tony, how old do you think?
Who is she married to?
She's married to Mr. Eisenhower.
Thank you very much.
Julie Nixon Eisenhower is married to a guy named Eisenhower, who is actually Ike Eisenhower's granddaughter, a grandson. Her grandson.
All right, okay, Ike's grandson.
Yeah. I forget his first name.
Mr.
Dwight D.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, his name. His name is Mr. Eisenhower. Yes.
48.
40.
No.
48 is the yes or no?
Yeah. 48.
48. Okay. And Emilio, what do you think?
I got a good vibe when Ken said 52, but then Tony 48 split it kind of. So I'm gonna go 50.
50, right in the middle of both of them.
Right in the middle.
Okay, Jack, what do you say?
49.
49.
That's my other
answer. Okay, you were going to guess that as
the second choice. Yeah, that was the one I was...
The second choice.
Yeah.
Okay, Rod, what do you say?
I think I'll say 48 also.
48 also? Okay. She's 46, so you're all very close. The closest was Roger. Let me see. Because he said 47. Yeah, so Roger wins that. If you keep winning, Roger, you get a tasteless, kind of tacky prize. Maybe one of your own records. Wouldn't that be a disappointment?
Ouch.
No, that would be too nice. As a matter of fact, if I may correct that answer, that would be too nice because your records certainly are not tacky or tasteless or worthless.
You know, Norm, I believe Roger, your vice president was Joanne, right?
Yeah.
She played the game, didn't she?
Yes, she did.
Okay. I remember a couple of weeks ago where she said, oh, no, I work for a record company where my best friend's the president.
That's right.
How did you get to be vice president of a record company, we asked?
Now, guys, since it's an all-male panel, Norm really likes to give out some really good prizes. I saw him clipping his toenails earlier, so I don't know if you guys really want to try hard tonight.
I'm disappointed. I'll
talk to you later, guys.
No, it's not bad. They're framed. It's framed in kind of a scrapbook.
Dipped in bronze.
Yeah, I know. There are a whole bunch of toenails, including...
Are they hand-signatured and numbered?
Oh, they're numbered, yes. This is a first edition.
He paints on the tips of them complete scenes from the Revolutionary War.
Oh, see, now you're being silly. See, now you're being foolish. Okay, let's go to Huey Lewis.
Oh, God.
Born Huey Anthony Craig III. In New York City. Did you know that? His name was Hugh Anthony Craig.
I wonder where the Lewis came from.
I don't know. Lewis just came. It's formed his San Francisco six-man band, The News, in 1980. Of course, biggest hits were The Power of Love from the film Back to the Future and Stuck with You. I haven't seen him on lately. Has he done anything lately?
Yeah, his last record was... a record of cover songs from Motown.
Oh, really?
What the heck was it called?
And he's been making like little cameos in movies, a lot of appearances in movies and stuff. He was in like Shortcuts.
Oh yeah.
And what else did I see him in?
What's the name of the new record? It's a play on a historical phrase, like fourscore and like four songs and I don't know, seven tunes ago, something like that. I don't know.
Bush. I think it's called I Regret That I Have Only One Record to
Give
Lose from My Country
company.
Or Give to My
from
Country
my yeah.
from My Company. Something of that nature.
That's no, not bad. I think I'll title my debut album.
But he's used to be on MTV a whole lot. Now.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, I'm an avid follower of MTV, having watched it, you know, 24 hours a day whenever I'm not here.
Yeah. Where did you follow it? No.
I just follow it wherever it'll go.
Okay.
I just follow right after it and blowing its ear. and I haven't seen Huey Lewis for a very long time.
Hasn't been much to see. That's why.
I guess so.
I guess you could say he's on the...
I'm too busy watching those girls on the beach dancing in the...
Channel 62.
Oh, the 60... Channel 62 is a lot of fun, too. That's a whole other thing. Anyway, let's start with you, Rod. How old is Huey Lewis?
I'll say 44.
Rod says 44. And Jack?
43.
How do you do that? That's right.
You sort of vibrate everything between the jaw and the middle of the chest.
Jaw in the middle of the chest.
While passing air.
While passing air?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm glad you're all alone up there in the fruit tower.
I
want to be sitting next
alone.
To you while you're passing air.
Yeah,
Emilio, what do you say?
42.
42. Emilio says 42.
They sound like Barry White right there.
No.
Do that again.
No.
No, that's not sound
right. Like the door in the Addams Family.
I know it was something.
You sounded like you were passing air, matter of fact.
I was vibrating everything though.
Tony, what do you say?
43.
Okay. And Roger?
I say 41.
41. Roger says 41. And Ken says?
I'd say he seems to me like he's a little bit older than he looks. I'd say he's about 45.
45.
Now, Norm, did you notice the difference between Ken's Ken was a up high in the scale, and Jack is
There was a difference there, wasn't there?
Yeah. Bass, and also...
Well, I've been sitting here all day, and my shorts are kind of riding up.
And then the soprano.
I think we can end this whole thing right here, folks. Huey Lewis, hold on a minute. I have an announcement to make. And it affects all your lives in absolutely no degree whatever. Huey Lewis actually is 43.
Oh,
yes.
And so we have Jack Hart, who said 43, and Tony said 43 also.
Yeah.
Isn't that exciting? So. What's that, please?
I wasn't sure if he said 43. I couldn't remember.
No, yeah, you said 43, and Jack Hart said 43. Right. That's correct. And that's how old he is. How about Rich Goose Gossage?
Oh. The Goose.
Yankee relief pitcher. Oh, is he still pitching or is he all through?
Actually, no. Who was he pitching with?
I think his Goose has been cooked.
No, he was still hurling.
I know he was pitching up to last year when this book was published.
Yeah. I think he did start out this year. There's a possibility he might be on a roster. Who did he pitch with last year, does it say?
It says, no, it does not say. New York Yankees. He was with the Yankees.
That's where he made his fame.
Yeah.
But then he moved on.
I don't know. I'm not really sure. But he was the one with the fiery fastball. I've seen him pitch.
He's got the big mustache.
Big mustache, and that ball, I mean, it smokes. Gosh darn, it really smokes.
You can hardly even see it, Norm. It's like a little BB.
That's right. Suddenly, boy, you know what it's like to be at the plate and what Goose Gossage is throwing?
What's it like, Norm?
Boy, it's really scary. I have a way of summing life up into simple phrases that really tell it as it is. Okay, Goose Gossage, we'll start with you, Emilio. How old is Goose Gossage?
He's old. I was wondering how he got his nickname, Norm. Is it from his, like, you know what geese do? Does he do things like that?
What do geese do?
I mean, you ever been on a golf course to see what geese do?
They pinch human beings in the butt? Is that what geese do?
No, they poop all over the place.
So does everybody else.
Yeah, I was wondering if goose did it on golf courses and stuff. That's how I get the name goose.
Wherever they happen to be. Yeah. Make themselves right at home, and wherever they do it.
No, but I'm not talking about goose now, geese. I'm talking about Goose the man.
Oh, Goose. How did he get the name?
Is that how he got his name?
I don't know.
Like pooping all over the golf course. There you go.
Would you care to guess his age, or do you want to keep rambling?
I'm sure I had to
Gosling, Gosling,
exactly,
whatever.
Sure.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you for clearing up.
No,
I mean, Norm didn't have an answer.
I can also tell you the definition of deed, but I won't get into that.
I appreciate that.
I'm going to say Goose Gassage. Gasling Gassage is 40.
Would you cut that out, and would you guess the guy's age?
40.
Holy God, how long is this going to go on?
44.
thank you so much. Boy, that's a...
What did he say?
He said 44 is what he said. He didn't say it in English, so that's probably why he didn't spot it.
44.
Roger, how old do you think Goose Gossage is? And no comment, okay? Just give the damn age.
45, I say.
Oh,
okay,
Roger's doing shtick. Ken, how old?
I'd say he's down around 47.
My goodness. And 47 is what Ken said, mixed in with all that other stuff. Okay. Rod, what do you think?
I was going to say 46.
That's not a terribly funny answer. I don't know why. I don't know why you're laughing.
I'm laughing at the rest of you guys. I mean, you're really very funny tonight.
Because we have a kind of interesting crew.
I tell you.
They're picked for their mental instability.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Tony, speaking of that, Tony.
Yes.
Oh, Tony, how old do you think Goose Gossage is?
Well, I don't mean to honk my own horn.
That
was almost as bad as down.
Sure, just about laid an egg.
Pretty much.
Oh, my.
45.
45. Okay, you said that kind of an embarrassment in your voice, and who can blame you? Okay. Jack, I imagine you probably have a joke involving gander in there, but I can't think of what it is.
Neither can I. Forty-six.
Okay, Goose Gossage, who is far from the beak of his career. Oh, that is so awful, man. I'm going to be nauseous. That was awful.
Swan dive.
We're on geese. Hold the swan jokes. Goose Gossage is 43. I think Emilio is the closest. He says 44. Beg your pardon? What was that?
That's supposed to be a very bad impression of a goose.
It looked like he's blowing his nose on the microphone. Will Gary LaPierre tries to use that microphone.
Norm, it was supposed to be a goose, but it's coming out sounding like Felix Unger having one of his attacks. So I'm sorry.
We just did the humor on this thing. Now we go along to the next one. You understand that we just did the humor.
I wasn't trying to be humorous. I just was liking myself to Felix Unger having one of his, those attacks he has in the middle of the night.
Hey, Emilio, shut up. Okay. Robbie. What a silly bunch of pooks this is.
Wow.
This is terrible. And my mother wanted me to be a concert violinist, and I'm sitting here with a bunch of dummies saying bad jokes. Robbie Robertson, he played guitar for the band in the 60s and 70s. Their biggest hit was?
The Weight.
Up on Cripple Creek.
Oh, yeah.
And that was 1969. My goodness, that goes back. The group backed Bob Dylan for a while. Robbie is in the movies now and toured with Ringo's All-Star Band. He's from Toronto, Canada. And
weighs in it.
He weighs in at 180 and is wearing these ungodly purple shorts that make him look really ridiculous.
Like, up
on, you know, like a sissy. And anyway, Robbie Robertson. Have you guys heard of him? Are you all heard of him?
Sure. Matter of fact, just this past week, I watched a tape of a movie called The Last Waltz, which was like their last concert kind of thing. Fine show.
Wasn't it? Is he a good musician? He's a guitar player?
Yeah, they had a lot of good songs.
Okay. You guys are going to have to brief me. This is the kind of stuff I don't know too much about. So that was... Jack, why don't you take the first shot at that? Robbie Robertson.
Let's see.
Well, I like that's a new one, isn't it?
So we all have to pick up on that now, no?
Yeah, we all have. We all going to do like Jack Hyde does, because he's our leader and our role model.
Ooh, there you
go.
I'll have to say he's 49.
49. Okay, and Roger, what do you say?
I say 46.
Roger says 46. And let's see. Rod, what do you say?
I'm going to say 51.
51. Okay, and Ken, what do you think?
This has me really fretting.
Fretting.
You really stuck your neck out on that one.
Wow. I just pluck an answer out of air at the minute.
You can really pick them.
I
say about 54.
Who asked you? Oh, I did. Oh, I see. Okay, 54. And Tony?
Why don't you just get Tar out of here?
Get Tar out of here.
Oh, gee.
All right, I'll jump on the bandwagon.
Norm, you let that guitar joke go? You didn't admonish him for that?
Oh, I'm just going to... I just want to throw up. What's the question there, Tony?
Oh, the question is, what is 49?
What is 49? Okay. And Emilio?
51.
Okay, he is actually 50.
Hey!
So a lot of you are very close. Emilio said 51. Rod said 51.
Tony and Jack.
Tony said 49. And that's right, Jack said 49.
Big BZ sweep.
Big sweep, big sweep. Okay, the review. The scores now. We have Tony, Emilio, and Jack all tied with two apiece. Rod and Roger, one apiece. And Ken...
with a goose egg.
Ken has a goose egg. That's correct.
Back to that again.
Just call me toilet paper.
Just call me toilet paper. What is that? Don't even tell us what that means.
I don't want to know.
Okay, Wednesday. We're going to go to Wednesday's birthdays now. July 6th.
Didn't we do those this weekend?
No. Yeah, we did some.
Okay.
We did some.
I just want to make sure you're prepared.
No, I am, because these are ones we did not do. I don't believe we did Nancy Reagan.
No, we did not.
We did not do Nancy Reagan. She was born on July 6th. And let me see what it says about Nancy Reagan here. Let's see. Sure, I didn't know that. Whoa, look what it's... Oh, my. anyway, she was born Anne Frances Robbins. Did you all know that? That's actually was her name at birth, Anne Frances Robbins.
Where did Nancy come from?
Nancy came from Thin Air, I think. She's married to a guy named Thin Air.
Well, I don't know where that's thin enough.
No, I guess that was her movie name or something. She became Nancy Davis later on.
Yeah, where did the Davis come from?
Let me read this. Oh, she was married to a guy with that name. She was adopted by her stepfather. Oh, I see. Her stepfather, Dr. Loyal Davis, a Chicago neurosurgeon. In 1935, she graduated from Smith College in 1943 and married Ronald Reagan in 1952.
See, now you gave us too good of clues there, Norm.
That's right. He gave you some good years. Graduated 43 from college.
Mm-hmm.
Married Ronald Reagan 52. She made 11 movies between 1949 and 1956, including Hellcats of the Navy. The only movie that John Williams never made, that wrote the score for. And, of course, she wrote a book called My Turn. Okay, and it's kind of funny to see. Have you seen that Hellcats of the Navy? It's kind of funny to see her and Ronald Reagan in the movie. You know, two younger versions of what they are today.
And he kept forgetting his lines.
I can't remember now. Okay. Nancy Reagan, anyway. We'll start with you. Let's see. Tony, how old do you think Nancy Reagan will be on July 6th, Wednesday?
Okay. All right. 72.
Okay. Okay. And what do you think, Jack?
74.
74. Okay. And Roger?
I'll go with 72 also.
Also. And Ken, what do you say?
Well, I'd say maybe 73.
My goodness, he's doing shtick. And what do you think? What do you think his age, her age would be then?
He said 73.
Oh, you said 73. I'm sorry. Okay. And Emilio?
72.
72. And Rod?
I'm going to go 73.
73. Okay, you're all very, very close. She'll be 71.
All right. Wow. No. Tony. Yeah, okay. Tony. Yeah, man. Yeah.
Well, Tony said 72.
Well, she was 21 when she graduated college, but she was 20 when
she's a real
graduated.
Scholar.
No. Rod said 73.
No, Tony and myself said 72.
I said 72.
What did you say, Rod?
I said 73.
You said 73. Oh, I'm sorry. So she's 71. I beg your pardon.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I'm getting mixed up here. I'm getting terribly mixed up. Would you believe that I would get mixed up? A graduate of Chelsea High School, getting mixed up?
Never.
No, and being the consummate professional, you've hidden that well, and now you've gone on and, like, look, no one even knows you messed up.
You're a wonderful person, Emilio. Okay, so Roger, Tony, and Emilio all have game the closest with 72. And that means that Tony's now got three correct answers. Emilio and Roger, two, and also Jack, two, and Rod, one, and Ken. Straighten yourself out, will you?
I've been up for the past.
Well, listen to this, these excuses. Listen to this. I've been up since a week ago last Friday. I haven't hardly closed my eyes. And all I've had to eat was a piece of lemon meringue pie and maybe a walnut. And so how
coffee
am I?
Coffee and M&M.
I see. Okay, Pat Paulson also was born July 6th. Pat Paulson. Let's see what I can tell you about him.
Is that what you think about him, Norm?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Every cough, every movement, every belch has a meaning.
Every subtlety.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Let's see, Pat Paulson. I'm looking at. Oh, here he is. Born in South Bend, Washington, the candidate for president every 4 years, because he appeared on the Smothers Brothers show, he couldn't officially be a candidate. He lost the 1968 election by a paltry 16 or 17 million votes, it says. Anyway, that's comedian Pat Paulson. Ken, what do you think?
About 69.
Okay. Roger, what do you say?
I'll go 62.
And Tony?
What year did they lose that election?
68. Yeah, that was the year that
Nixon.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was the year that Gene McCarthy was the candidate, and there was on an anti-Vietnam platform, and that was the year that Robert Kennedy entered the race and was assassinated that year, 68. And it was the year Dustin Hoffman did The Graduate, or he did that in 67, maybe.
Hmm.
Anyway, how old?
61.
Okay, Emilio?
Norm, would Pat Paulson's father be called Paul Paulson?
No.
No?
I don't even know what that means.
Paul's son is his last name.
Oh, Paul's son.
So his father's name would be Paul, and he would be Paulson, so his father's name would be Paul. So they'd all be Paul Paulson.
Probably somewhere along the line, Paulson probably would mean the son of Paul.
Possibly somewhere along the line.
But when you think of it, his father's name would be just Paul. He would have no last name because Pat would be Paul's son.
Correct.
Yes.
That stands to reason maybe his father was named Paul also, so he was Paul's son.
Why don't you guys shut up?
But what if his name was like Gerald or Fred? Would he be Fredson?
Correct.
Yeah. Yes, correct.
Geraldson?
Anyhow, Norm, I'd say
if you had a child, would he be Emilio's son?
Correct.
There you go.
Jack. Yes, Jackson.
Why does George Westinghouse allow this thing to continue day after day?
No, but I don't understand.
You know why, Norm?
Yeah?
Because he's dead.
That's right. I knew there was a logical reason.
His machine spun for the last time. Norm, I don't understand is why there's not little notes in our cubbyhole, male cubbyhole, saying, you guys are doing a wonderful job. Here's your pay raises.
I beg your pardon.
Why are there no notes like that?
Why there are no notes like that? I don't know. All I know is that in the fax machine, there are all kinds of notes piling up for George Westinghouse.
Yeah. Anyhow, Pat Paulson is 62 years old. Yeah, he's going to be old. He looks older than that. He looks he looks like the Wicked Witch of the West back in Wizard of Oz. I'm going to say he's 68. I changed my vote.
Oh, you're changing it to 68, you're saying. Okay.
He was old back in the Smothers Brothers show.
He always had a kind of a hangdog look on his face. He always looked kind of sickly. In fact, to tell you the truth, looking at him made me kind of sick myself. I can't bear even to think of his face.
So much to the point that you got sick of looking at him, too.
I was, that's true.
Actually, he did something very funny in one of the early Letterman shows. He came out and explained to Letterman that he had been practicing, metaphysics and things for quite some time and had actually learned to levitate. And he could levitate over water, and they had a large tank of water, and he climbed up on top of it, and he prepared himself for a few minutes, and he was going to levitate out across the top of the water, and he stepped out and fell straight in.
Of course, all with a straight face, Jack.
All the straight face, But then he kept on trying throughout the rest of the show.
Okay. How old do you think he is? Will be on Wednesday.
Who are you asking?
Jack. I'm asking Jack.
Thank you very much. He's going to be 72.
72.
Oh, well, you see, you can't see me scratching my head, so I have to, do the same thing.
Oh, I see. Okay. I don't know why I'm laughing. I'm thinking of him dropping into the water. 11 dead. It sounds like a funny idea.
Jack, if you scratch really hard, maybe we can hear you scratch. Can you hear that? That's me scratching.
How's that?
Yeah, I can hear that.
Oh,
thank
you.
Thank you.
Rod?
You have a red rash.
will you stop? Rod, how old do you think Pat Paulson will be?
See, I'm trying to remember what he looks like.
He looks very sickly. He's a sickly-looking guy. Yeah,
he looks a little drowned, like a drowned rat.
I'm going to say 70.
70, okay. Yeah. Okay, actually, Pat Paulson on Wednesday, on July 6th, will be 67.
Yes.
Yes, so we do have a meteor set 68. And Ken said 69. I'm sorry, Ken. Almost had you in the scoring column, but you just missed out. No, I guess, it's just Emilio. Emilio now ties Tony. Three apiece. My good. Oh, no. No, Tony has four.
No, Tony got three last time. Did he know?
Wait a minute. Emilio has four.
Yes.
No, Emilio has four and Tony has three.
Okay.
Ooh. Yeah, no, Emilio is just, I didn't even see that.
No fair, they have the answers written on their hands.
No, they don't. Actually, neither one is, I know
Emilio. I've got the hair on this piece of paper.
Okay, hey, let's see, we'll try another one. Burt Ward.
Oh, is that Robin?
That's right, yeah. Played Robin, the Boy Wonder on the Batman TV series. And let's see, it would be kind of interesting to know how old he's going to be now.
And now, isn't that interesting, Norm, that on the show he was, whatever the guy's name was there, Bruce Wayne's ward.
He was Bruce Wayne's wood?
And his name is Burt Ward.
Ward. He was the ward of the court. Bruce Wayne took care of him.
Oh, I see. And his name was Ward.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that interesting?
That's what I have to explain everything to you. No?
Yeah, that is well.
Andy found him in a big section of a hospital.
Yeah.
You must be in the medical business to describe it in that manner.
A ward,
as we learned in medical school, is a big section in a hospital place.
That's right. They named the whole section after the hospital. Where are you? Well, I'm in the Burt Ward, you know?
Oh. Okay. Wow. We're going to start with Rod on this one. Burt Ward, how old do you think?
He's about 46.
46, says Rod. And Jack?
48.
Jack says 48. And Emilio says?
47.
You were scratching your head again, weren't you, devil? That's really nice. Would you sweep all that stuff off the console now, please? We're already getting low on this thing, aren't we, huh? I hope nobody's having breakfast while they're listening. Tony, what do you think?
Well, I wish we could ward off the bad jokes, but...
Oh, jeez.
Yes.
47.
Pardon me?
47.
47. You're going to stick with Emilio's answer?
Oh, am I?
Emilio said 47.
Well,
and you said...
Wonder, so...
Okay.
And I'm a winner, Norm. I'm a winner.
And Emilio is a boy wonder also. And Roger, what do you think?
No, wait a second, Norm. Hold on now. I don't want people to get the wrong idea here.
So you dress up in tights, is that right?
I didn't mean any of whatever you're thinking. I didn't mean that at all.
Hang around in a cave with a guy wearing a leather mask.
It does make you a little suspicious, doesn't it? Yeah.
Now, why didn't they notice Batgirl? She's in that tight leather outfit, and no one even really gives two hoots about it.
Yeah, they weren't hanging around with her, were they?
No, I mean, I'd be partying up with Batgirl all the time. I'd have her on the back of my motorcycle.
I had questions about the commissioner and Chief O'Hara. That's what I had questions about. That relationship was a little odd.
Yeah. You know how you hold a bat?
By the tips of its wings?
Yes, right. Gently by the tips of its wings.
I see.
That's correct. Okay. Because they asked that of, I believe it was Wade Boggs last year, and that was his answer.
Uh-huh.
I made that up.
Very witty, that Wade.
Witty Wade, that's right.
Very close to Ward.
Close to Ward, yeah. Witty Wade and Ward. And I use them for their law services, all of them. anyway, Roger, how old do you think Burt Ward is?
I would like to say that Burt Ward would be 49 years old.
Is that Elephant Boy from Stern?
Howard, hello, Howard.
Okay.
Life goes on, blah.
Okay. That's very nice. That's really very, very
Thank
nice.
You.
Now finish your oatmeal and shut up. Okay, Ken, what do you think?
Pal, Bam, I think he's 47.
Oh, Bam.
See, now Ken's going to jinx us. He's going with us. He's going with the rest of us.
That's right. Yeah, and he's...
I know a winner when I hear one.
No, you're very... You were wise to go with him, except... We got Jack Hart, who's hit it right on the head when he said 48. But the rest of you were so incredibly close. It's hard to imagine that Burt Ward is well up in his 40s.
He's fat now. Have you seen him lately, Norm?
No, I have not.
When did you see him last?
I haven't seen him in years. I saw him on like a Vicky or something like that, and he's like... He's got like chipmunk cheeks, and he doesn't look like he was ever an Avenger of Justice.
Wow. Yeah, but Batgirl's looking real hot. She'd look good in that leather suit now.
Have you seen her lately?
Yeah.
they were in Chicago for a Women of Broadcasting thing, and I caught a video clip of it on, like, CNN or something, and she's still smoking.
So what did she have to do with women in broadcasting?
Yeah, really.
She got her own show now?
No, old women from TV shows, you know, that showed a positive influence on the society.
Riding a motorcycle in a little leather suit.
Yeah. Now, Norm, I have to ask you, who was your favorite Catwoman?
Was it Eartha Kitt, Julie Newmar?
Julie Newmar.
Lee Meriwether also.
Yeah.
Lee Meriwether, was she
did in the movie.
Yeah.
Michelle Pfeiffer
in the movie, yeah.
Michelle Pfeiffer, not me.
Well, we're talking about, you know, back in the old TV series.
The TV
series.
No one could purr better than that kid, though.
It couldn't be Julie Newmar for legs up to her neck.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, they're doing reruns, are they not, on the old Batman
series? Batman's always on. Sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, Lee Meriwether, everyone knew she would sell it to Barnaby Jones. That's why nobody ever gave her any credit.
I beg your pardon? I don't know what that means. Is that... You're being serious when you say that.
Yeah, she went over to Barnaby Jones.
Son of a gun. What a nasty thing.
At least she stayed the crime-fighting type, you know, specialization.
She would have joined up with a vet or something.
Well, then she became Lily Munster in the New Munsters.
Oh.
I think we've come to the end of the game, folks. Yeah, and the winner would be Emilio, who had the four correct answers, and second would be Tony.
Thank you.
And Jack, who also had three.
Wow.
So you guys are tied. And Roger had two. And Rod had one. And O'Ken.
Ken.
Yeah, Ken. No, Ken was added to some interesting comments to the program, even though he fell flat on his face and looked really stupid in the guessing of the ages.
No, Norm. For Tony's,
he didn't do an elephant boy impression live radio.
Now, for Tony's sake, can you just tell me what I won?
No, you haven't won anything because you work here. Yeah, we.
Why is it for my sake?
I don't get a pen.
No, you get those.
You get no pens. What is your kind
of? You're gonna add that. You're gonna add the pen.
Yeah, you're trying to cause problems. I.e., in trouble.
Yes. Yeah. I'm leaving town, Norm. So you know, you don't care. You don't care. You'll be out.
You've got nothing to lose.
That's right. He'll be out in San Diego. What does he care about us facing the music here?
Yeah, but he's got relatives out there in that part of the world. Watch us.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
This is the exciting part of the program where I thank everybody for taking part in this cockamamie game and thus putting their reputations up for sale, like Ken in Pennsylvania. Thank you very much, Ken. Good to talk with you.
Thanks a lot, Norm. And would it be possible for me to get an autographed picture of you to add to my collection of famous DJs?
Famous DJs, eh? And I certainly am that. Yes, as a matter of fact, Amelia will take the call right this moment, take your name and address, and I'll send one out to you. And again, it was, I got a picture of me taken just after the firing on Fort Sumter. And that's the most recent thing, because Westinghouse doesn't take too many pictures too easily. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Roger.
All right,
Ken it is. And thank you, Roger. I appreciate you playing the game. Take care. And Tony, of course, you're always such a joy.
Oh, thanks, Norm. You really feel that way?
I really do.
Oh, because I don't.
Oh, jeez.
Bye.
Bye. And thank you to Jack. We'll talk to you in a few minutes.
Oh, thank you.
And Rod, keep protecting against those terrorists with the ski mask. I got to go now because we're just about up to the news here at the WBZ Boston is where we are. It's 4 o'clock, kids.
It's hard to pick favorite episodes because they all have their own standout moments, but this one was a heck of a lot of fun to listen to. I hope you laughed out loud, groaned, and shook your head and contemplated, just as Norm had, about how this was allowed to air over and over again every week. I'm thrilled we got away with it and just so proud to have been a part. The thank you list is a long one, so let's close the vault and ride the radio waves home. For all the Catwomen, Eartha, Julie, Lee, and Michelle. Swirly English-sounding rock made in America. The comedy duo of Zeal and Vigor. Norm's legal counsel, Witty, Wade, and Ward. The Channel 62 Dancing Girls. George Westinghouse. Rodney, the WBZ overnight security guard, the San Diego-bound Emilio Marauder, and his friends, the Costellos from Reading, the vibrating, air-passing leader and role model, Jack Hart, and the man who was clearly questioning his career choice during this show, Norm Nathan. I'm the mentally unstable, Tony Nesbitt.